President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit AFAAction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. We had a rainy weekend in Texarkana, major storms, and the bottom really fell out on Friday night. And so it was all wet on Saturday, raining again on Saturday, kind of cleared up a little bit on Sunday, but man, lots and lots of water. When we started the service yesterday morning, our missions pastor and senior adult pastor, Mike Beck, he said, who's ever praying for rain, you need to start praying for the offering. Because obviously your prayers are being answered. And so we look forward to a week in this part of the country where we have sunshine and not rain, and everything can dry out. You know, as I've said before, if you have big dogs, we have a big dog in our household, three little dogs and one big dog. Debbie wanted a big dog, so I caved in. And Big Els is 80 pounds, a golden doodle. And when she gets in the backyard and it's wet in there and muddy, then it's a nightmare. So we have to really watch because she'll track that in all over the place. Well, I wanted to read to you a passage, one verse that we have used before. And it's an important verse from the lips of Jesus. He says this, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Some people like to say, well, Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. And he did say that, but they just stop there. Don't judge anything. Don't judge anyone. Well, here, John 7:24, he's saying, well, wait a minute. Don't judge according to appearance, but do judge with righteous judgment. You would be a person in terrible trouble if you had no judgment about you. You weren't able to discern anything. You say, oh, I can't judge anything. I can't say that Adolf Hitler was bad because we're not supposed to judge. Well, we're not the judge. Get that right. People have accused me, well, you're being judgmental. I'm not the judge, but I can tell you what the judge has said. And so, you know, when it comes to eternity, you know, who are you to judge another? Well, I'm not your judge. But let me tell you what the judge has said. The judge himself said these words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is making it very narrow. And Peter went on to say in Acts chapter 4, as he appeared before the Sanhedrin, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So if you try and come any other way than through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to get there. That's not us being judgmental as Christians. That's us being faithful to be a witness and a herald for the King and tell people the truth. And so, you know, when you may get accused, as I get accused of being judgmental, just say, hey, I'm not your judge, but let me tell you what the judge has said. And let me tell you what the judge has done. The judge has made a way for you to escape judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, these important words, truly, truly, I say to you. There are, I think, 26 truly, trulys in the Gospel of John. Truly, truly is literally amen, amen. Let it be so, let it be so. Hey, pay attention, pay attention. Anytime you hear a truly, truly, it's like, this is really important. It's all caps, bold, italics, underlined, everything is in there. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, right now, has eternal life. And eternal life never ends. You can't lose it. If you could lose it, it's not eternal. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Do you want to miss out on judgment? Do you want the Lord to say to you, not guilty? Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul told the Philippian jailer when he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household, if your household believes. So we're not the judge, but we are to judge with righteous judgment, and we are to let people know what the judge has said. That's part of being a faithful watchman on the wall. So think of it this way. You know, the Lord says in the book of Ezekiel, if you don't warn, you're a watchman on the wall, and if you don't warn people of what is going on, that's a serious, serious sin. He says in Ezekiel 3:17, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. So you don't want the blood of friends and neighbors and family members and people you work with and classmates and teammates and the like, anybody you rub shoulders with. You don't want that person's blood to be on your hands because you didn't warn them. And when you're a watchman on the wall, what did the watchman do? He would be up at night when people are sleeping, and he would be looking out on the horizon to see, is it safe? And if the enemy is coming and he saw the enemy coming, well, he would blow the trumpet. He would warn the people. Now, if they chose to blow off the warning, well, that's on them. But if they responded to the warning, then good for them. That was wise of them. That's the difference between building your house on the sand versus building your house on the rock. Jesus said, the one who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them, he's the one who's building his house on the sand. But the one who hears these words of mine and does act upon them, he's the one who's building his house on the rock. And if you remember in that little parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, that the house on the sand and the house on the rock both had the same trouble. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against both houses. The house on the sand fell, and Jesus said, and great was its fall, but the house on the rock stood because it was founded on the rock. So, you and I have a responsibility to warn and to judge with righteous judgment, to be discerning with what is going on in our in the times in which we live, in our nation, and in our world. Now, you may have heard on the news, there was a big protest around the country. I was told it was in all 50 states. Grok said it was in all 50 states. Grok is the newest AI. And that the organizers of this protest against Donald Trump and Elon Musk, they said they had 250,000 people participating around the country. And they are against Trump and they're against Musk. And they are, you know, I saw posters where Trump is supposedly Hitler with a mustache and Elon Musk is a fascist. And, you know, it's just the name calling. It seems to be they always go to the same names. You're a fascist. You're a tyrant. You are a dictator. You're Hitler. You're the Antichrist. All those things. And, you know, that gets a little old after a while. But I saw one reporter, he went there and said, well, okay, your sign says that Elon Musk is a fascist. Well, why? You know, what proof do you have that he's a fascist? Well, the person couldn't answer the question and just said, well, I don't know. They gave me this sign. And so the organizers had the signs and the people signed up. And who knows if those people were paid. Many believe that you have paid people, you paid protesters to come hold up a sign for so many hours, we'll pay you so much money to do it. So the idea, here's the fascinating thing. What Elon Musk has been charged to do is to audit the government and all the government agencies to try and save $1 trillion to expose and eradicate waste, fraud, and abuse. And those who are opposing him on the left are the same people who just a few years ago were clamoring for the removal of waste, fraud, and abuse. So somebody posted this. It was entitled A Compilation of Hypocrites. It was Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer. This is what they had to say just a few years ago.
We simply must make the cuts in waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicare. We owe it to our country.
There is an enormous amount of waste and fraud and abuse in this government. When there is waste and fraud, you have an administration who should also be on top of that situation.
If we're going to eliminate the waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicare, it does mean we're going to cut some of that out. We want to cut the bad stuff and keep the good stuff.
All right, that was Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer. Seems like those people should all be on board with Elon Musk. So you ask yourself the question, well, okay, why have you flip-flopped? Why were you all in with this? And I have another clip from Chuck Schumer that just shows where he was. This is in 1996.
First of all, Social Security card is used from one end of America to the other as an identification card right now. Who are we kidding? If you want to pass a law and says it shouldn't be, I would ask the chairman and the distinguished minority member of the Social Security committee to pass that law. But let's admit the truth. Everywhere people go, they're asked for a Social Security card. In fact, one way to prove you're a bona fide person who can have a job is to ask for a driver's license and a Social Security card. This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit. And we find all this opposition. Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, etc. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
So that was Chuck Schumer from 1996. Sounds like he could be Elon Musk's right-hand man. He wants to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse, and he knows it exists. And he goes on to say, as that previous clip said, hey, we're not trying to cut Medicare. We're trying to cut the waste, fraud, and abuse out of Medicare to make it solvent and viable for people who need it. But now the flip-flop. So you ask the question, what has changed in their minds over the last several years, over the last several decades? Why are they so opposed to Elon Musk and the work of Doge? That's a good question. We're going to explore that when we come back, but we are up against a break, and we'll have to take a little break here. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about judging with righteous judgment. Jesus said in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, just what you see on the surface, but dig deeper and judge with righteous judgment. You can't live life without some sense of judging what is good and what is bad. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil, to judge between good and evil. And so we need to be able to discern, especially as it relates to what's going on in our nation, because as we've said on this program, we are not the United States of America. Well, we are, but we're not right now. We're very divided, and you have one group hating the other group, and one group really vilifying the other group, and some would say, well, that goes both ways. But we want to be able to discern, well, what is true and what is false, what is good and what is evil, what is going to be helpful and what is going to be hurtful. And it seems to me, with what Elon Musk is doing and the directive and the goal of the Department of Government Efficiency to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse, that ought to be something that everyone can get on board and say, yes, I am for the elimination of waste, fraud, and abuse. So we played a clip from Chuck Schumer in 1996. He sounds like he could be Elon Musk's second in command, the way he was talking. Well, here is Chuck Schumer in 2010, 15 years ago, talking about the same thing.
About a third of all of the spending that's done in Medicare, Medicaid, I would imagine a lot of it's in the private sector as well, doesn't go to really good health care, goes to other things. And the real nub of this is, how do we wring that waste out, that fraud, abuse, duplication, without interfering with the good care that we want every person on Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance to get? The average citizen knows this happens. How many times when you look at your medical bill, you've undergone a minor procedure, and you see Dr. Smith, $4,000, and you sort of vaguely remember he just waved and poked his head in the door? If we're going to eliminate the waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicare, it does mean we're going to cut some of that out. And when I hear my friend Dave Camp say, you cannot cut money out of Medicare, well, we don't want to cut the good stuff that you point out, or prevent add the prevention. But if we're going to, if what Senator Coburn says, that one third of Medicare doesn't go to patient care, you can't just get up there and say, we don't want to cut anything out of Medicare. We want to cut the bad stuff and keep the good stuff. And I think that's where we can find common ground on some of the things you've mentioned, some of the things that are in our bill. And I hope at least in this area we can move forward that way, because frankly, the Republican Party has always stood for getting rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse in the system. In 97, it was the centerpiece of your program. And all of a sudden this year we're hearing, don't do any of that. That's something that I think we can come together on. I thank you.
Well, I would agree with that. Why couldn't we come together in Congress Put aside the political stuff and just say, hey, we need to tackle the waste, fraud, and abuse. It seems like that makes sense. And what Chuck Schumer said, I would agree completely. But that was 2010. He's not saying that now in 2025. And so you ask yourself the question, why the flip-flop? I contend that some will say, well, no, they're just against it because it's not being done right. You know, Elon Musk is ready, fire, aim, and we're against that. And so we're not against waste, fraud, and abuse in principle, but they're going about it the totally wrong way. And I mean, we should go through every agency and, you know, 25 years from now, we can come up with a plan. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They don't say the 25 years, but obviously, if the patient is in distress and, you know, going downhill quickly, you don't have time to run a study and do this and that and the other, and it's going to take years, as Chuck Schumer said in 1996. People get angry because we don't do anything. We talk about all this stuff and we don't do anything. One of the things that, love him or hate him, that Donald Trump does is he does things. He's a businessman. He's not a politician. So he doesn't just talk and talk and talk. He gets things done. He negotiates deals and pushes through things so that progress can be made. And Elon Musk, the same way. What did he do when he bought Twitter? He went through and whacked out in pretty short order about 80% of the workforce because he said those jobs are redundant or the people aren't doing anything or we don't need this. We can streamline this, cut off the fat. Now, when you start cutting, as we've said repeatedly on the program, do some good people get cut? Yes. Are mistakes made? Yes. Elon Musk has not tried to hide that. When we make mistakes, we own our mistakes and we say, hey, we messed up. And if we fired some people we shouldn't have fired, we hire them back. And, you know, no batter bats 1,000. And if you have to bat 1,000 to tackle waste, fraud, and abuse, well, you're never going to do it. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to sit around and talk about it, but no action will be done. And so, you know, people are afraid, and I knew going into January 20th and what Trump had planned to do, it's like, okay, those guys have to have a strong constitution, Donald Trump, the cabinet, Elon Musk, because they are going to get hammered. And I believe that you're going to have, especially with all these tariffs that went into effect last week, April 2nd of last week, that, you know, the market's going to respond and the markets went down and people are screaming and see, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's tanking the economy, blah, blah, blah. You know, the sky is falling. And then all the liberal, you know, media outlets that hate Donald Trump, they're just going to jump on the bandwagon and get people all riled up. Well, you have to go through the storm to get on the other side. You have to go through the valley to get on the mountaintop. And so it's not going to be easy. If you're going to try and balance the budget, that's not going to be an easy thing to do. You're going to try and cut trillions of dollars out of the government. We have a $6 trillion, we're going to have a $2 trillion deficit for this coming year, and Trump is trying to balance that and get rid of that. Well, that's going to mean that things get cut. And who likes getting cut? Nobody likes getting cut. Even the people that are just part of the waste. It's like, hey, I had a good gig here and now I don't have a job anymore. Well, those things happen. So Chuck Schumer, finding common ground. Well, it seems to me that we could all agree we need to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. So why the flip-flop? Well, I'll propose some answers and one of the answers is, well, maybe you're now part of the waste, fraud, and abuse. You know, if you're getting kickbacks off of the fraud, you don't want to have the audits come your way because they're going to show that, hey, this is going on. You're benefiting from this financially. So that's one potential answer. The other answer that comes to mind, that the only one that really makes sense to me, or the other one would be, well, they're not going about it the right way. So I'm not opposed to it in principle, but I'm opposed to it in practice the way you're doing it, because it's not right. So we need to put on the brakes. So that's one potential. That seems a lot better to have that as an answer. Why the flip-flop? Well, it's not really a flip-flop. It's just that I don't like the way they're doing it. They're doing it all wrong, and so we need to put on the brakes. Okay, that sounds better. Here is my take on the real reason. They hate Donald Trump. I mean, the left, as Bill O'Reilly has said, the ladies on The View and Jake Tapper and others on Rachel Maddow and others, Don Lemon and all these folks, they hate Donald Trump. They just hate him. And they would rather see the country implode than Donald Trump be successful, because they hate him so much. And that's what people call Trump derangement syndrome, TDS. Some people get upset about that. We had one caller, and she, voiced her opinion, said, I don't like it when you even use that term. But I think it's a good term, because it shows that people lose all rationality when it comes to Donald Trump. Because if you just have this idea that this guy is evil personified, that he is duping America because he's the devil in the flesh, and he's a liar and the father of lies, and every time he opens his mouth it's a lie, and he has this nefarious plan and plot to become the world leader, and if you don't see this, you're an idiot, and we need to oppose him with every fiber in our beings. If that's your attitude and you believe that, well, it makes sense that whatever he proposes, you're against. You can't find common ground. How do you find common ground with the devil? You don't. It's Israel dealing with Hamas. How do you find common ground with Hamas? Well, you don't. Hamas exists to destroy Israel. And so how do the devil, his MO and his, he's the original Terminator. How could you find common ground with the Terminator? You're Sarah Connor. Hey, Terminator, let's sit down and come up with a solution. Well, I'm programmed to kill you. That's my only end game here. How are you going to find common ground there? You can't. So Israel can't find common ground with Hamas, because Hamas, if there's a ceasefire, they're just reloading to attack them again. They hate Israel, want to wipe them off the map. And so if you hate Donald Trump and you see him as the devil in the flesh, well, then you're not going to find common ground with anything he does. And that's why Donald Trump said a few weeks ago, when he spoke to Democrats and Republicans in Congress, and said, nothing I say, nothing I do is ever going to be celebrated by the Democrats in Congress, because they hate me. And so no matter what I do, they wouldn't cheer, they wouldn't clap, they wouldn't say that was good. And so I've talked about Bill Maher on the program, Bill Maher, who's very liberal, but he doesn't have TDS. Doesn't appear that he does. He went and had dinner. Kid Rock invited him to the White House and set that up, and had dinner with Trump. And it seemed, from, I haven't heard Bill Maher's take on it, but from Kid Rock's take on it, it went well. But Bill Maher is a lot more objective, and he sees things from an objective point of view. So I contend that the reason why we're seeing all the flip-flops is because the people on the left hate Donald Trump, and they're going to oppose everything he is doing, even if it's to their detriment. So sad, sad day. Well, let me shift gears for a moment. I ran across this over the weekend. Janet Parshall had shared this on X. It's a new law. British Council seeks to pass laws which will imprison Christian preachers, proposing a sweeping injunction against street preachers. This was what was recorded on their news.
Welcome back to GBN Tonight with me, Martin Daubney. Now, the Labour-ran Rushmore Borough Council has sparked outrage by proposing a sweeping injunction that could see Christian street preachers in prison for up to 2 years if the injunction is breached. Now, over claims of causing offence or distress. Now, under the proposed terms, Christians will be banned from praying for individuals, handing out religious leaflets or Bibles by hand, and laying hands on people in prayer, even with their permission.
So that's the proposed injunction targeting Christians. You know, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. You know, it's the watchman on the wall. The street preachers are warning people and telling them there is salvation in no one other than Jesus. You don't have to perish, but judgment is coming. And Jesus is the only Savior, and he'll save anybody who comes to him in repentance and faith. They don't like that message, and so they come against it. They want to silence the watchman on the wall. The watchman is saying, hey, the enemy is coming, and you need to respond to the sound of the trumpet. Well, they want to kill the trumpeter. They want to kill the man warning them. And that's the upside down world in which we live. Now, as Christians, we're to speak the truth in love. And that's the rub. Sometimes we can speak the truth, but we lack love. Sometimes we can get so far on the love side, a twisted love, because love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. And we can get so far on the love side and the grace side that we fall off the truth wagon, and then we're just encouraging people and celebrating people with whatever they do. Now, you have to keep those. Jesus was full of love and truth. Both were on F. They were on full. And we need to communicate the gospel and tell people the truth, because we love them and we don't want to see them perish. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we're going to welcome Rob West. Rob has the program right after mine on American Family Radio, Money Wise, and he is the president and spokesman of Kingdom Advisors. And we're going to talk to Rob about President Trump's tariffs and what he thinks of those, and what he sees coming down the pike as far as markets go, and just what's in store for America. So you don't want to miss it. Coming up right after the break, Rob West. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We have for this segment my friend Rob West, host of Money Wise and the Money Wise Minute, and president and spokesman of Kingdom Advisors. So, Rob, welcome to the program.
Jeff, great to be with you this morning.
You have one of the best voices on radio, my friend.
Well, thank you for that.
Yes. So you're in Tupelo.
No, I will be later today, though. I'm in my Atlanta studio today, but looking forward to being there later today and all week for our Share-a-thon.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm not going to be able to make it, but it was good to see you at the NRB in the Dallas area just a few weeks ago. So, Rob, let me jump in. Everybody's talking about the tariffs. Trump called it April 2nd. He called it Liberation Day. I think before Trump took office, most Americans didn't really understand how tariffs worked. People are becoming a little bit more astute on what they are. But can you explain tariffs, and can you explain your opinion of what happened on April 2nd?
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, the president has been very clear for a long time. I mean, you can find 40 years ago, President Trump talking about tariffs and what he calls this big, beautiful word. And then he was very clear leading up to his election and after his election that that would be his MO. And we're seeing that play out now. Now we can talk about why the market's down, despite the fact that what he called Liberation Day was no surprise. But essentially, a tariff is a tax on goods coming into the country. And what he's getting after is the imbalance that we basically have very little in the way of tariffs in place. Other countries impose high tariffs, and therefore it's not a level playing field. And so he's trying to change the game. Now, there is a direct tariff, which is, you know, that amount that's charged on a good as it enters the country. And obviously the country has to decide what they're going to do with it. And individual companies have to decide, are they going to absorb it? Are they going to pass it on? But there are non-monetary tariffs, if you will, as well. It comes in the form of IP, intellectual property, theft. It comes in the form of other types of tax, like the VAT tax. And that's why you even heard potentially this morning the trade advisor Navarro talking about that Vietnam's, you know, they've come to the table and said, we'll lower the tariff to zero. And he's saying that's still a non-starter because of all the other issues that need to be dealt with. And so it's far more complex than that. Now, I think the reason the market is selling off, despite the fact that it was very well known that President Trump was, you know, signaling this is where he was going to go. So this shouldn't have caught anybody by surprise. What did catch them by surprise was the methodology by which they calculated those tariffs by country was quite a bit higher than what everybody was expecting. And therefore, the much higher tariffs, you're now seeing a reaction to that in the markets. The market down, the Dow Jones down off another 1,500 points at the open. NASDAQ down 4.5%. S&P off 4% this morning. Now you're seeing the recession trade where you're seeing the markets reflect the fact that if this is going to be a little stickier and it's not going anywhere anytime soon, this may lead to not only a U.S. but a global recession. So that's what's being priced in at this moment.
Well, how long do you think this is going to last?
If I knew that, well, that would be great. Let me just say this. You know, nobody knows the mind of the president. I will tell you, he's brilliant. He's a very smart guy. At the same time, you know, the market is the collective ingenuity of, you know, hundreds of millions of people voting with their dollars. So I think there is something to that. You know what I think it's going to come down to, Jeff, is really what is his end game? And this is what we don't know. And this is what the market hates, which is uncertainty. Is his end game a lot more revenue? He's been celebrating the fact that we're going to bring in, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars in new revenue from these big, beautiful tariffs. And will that revenue then give Congress the mandate to do perhaps even bigger tax cuts because we can offset that with this revenue, which also means these tariffs aren't going anywhere. And that then gives rise to the question about recession. But is it the revenue on top of the drop in oil and energy that we've seen, which takes the pressure off consumers, on top of lower mortgage rates, which further takes pressure off? And that's kind of his sweet spot. Or is it the art of the deal, his book, which is it's all about negotiation. And so I'm going to start high, I'm going to meet in the middle, and I'm going to essentially reset the game. And it could be that. And if so, perhaps these tariffs are short-lived. I know they've been talking this morning. I think he just put on Truth Social a few moments ago. You know, he talked to the Prime Minister of Japan. They're sending a team to begin negotiating. He mentioned over the weekend more than 50 countries have reached out. So I think that's what it's going to come down to. Is this something that's short-lived because it's a negotiating strategy to reset the global trade game toward free trade and more fairness to the U.S.? Or is it something that's going to stick around for a while, that's going to generate a lot of revenue, but that then lends itself to this much higher prospect of a domestic or a global recession, and that's what the market is factoring in.
So, Rob, somebody like you that's very astute on the financial, you know, world, in the financial world, when you see this big drop in the stock market, do you kind of lick your chops thinking, man, there's a lot of right now?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think number one, you always want to stay the course. You know, they say don't try to catch a falling knife. I think number two, you've got to put it in perspective, and that is that, you know, we're and don't get me wrong, I understand there, and you look at your 401k or your IRA, I mean, those losses, although they're paper losses until you sell something, it's a little jarring. But yes. I think in perspective, we have to realize that, you know, we're not even anywhere close to getting back to the levels we were at just 2 years ago. I mean, we're still basically just under 5,000 on the S&P 500, and you only have to go back a couple of years to be at 4,000. Now, you might say, well, we could be there next week. We could. Who knows, right? But we're still, in the president's eyes, I think, you know, just playing with the money that was created, the wealth that was created just in the last 2 years, and he's after a much bigger reset, and he's saying, listen, we've got to take our medicine. That was a quote from him over the weekend. We've just got to deal with some of this pain. So I think to answer your question, yeah, we've got to take the long view. You know, when I was an advisor, I would go through a stress test with my clients when we got into a fully allocated portfolio. If we were large equities, you know, long equities, then you'd say, okay, for the equity portion of my portfolio, I need to be able to mentally and emotionally be able to weather a 30% downward move and be okay with not selling. Mm-hmm. Now, it's too late to kind of ask that question and stress test that now in the middle of it. But I think that's the idea. Now, if you're right near retirement, well, let's say you should have been a 60-40 portfolio, you might be down 6 or 7%, but you've got 6 to 12 months in cash. You're not selling. You're waiting it out. I mean, that's always the right strategy, because I think no matter who you ask, you know, most economists and CEOs right now would say, despite all the tumult, right, we're experiencing, the market's probably going to be at new highs in the next 24 months.
Okay. Well, that makes people feel a lot better. So would you advise people to get into the market now and look for deals? I know Tesla's dropped a lot. Yeah. Tesla's a solid company. How do you look at that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't give specific market recommendations. I will say I would agree with you on that, though. I mean, what he's doing with robotics is probably another $1 trillion business on top of, you know, all the other things that he has coming. I'm very impressed with Mr. Musk and his business acumen. But, you know, here's the big idea. Yeah, I mean, we should be, I don't like trying to time the market. I think that's a losing proposition. What mm-hmm. I would say is you should be a systematic investor, and that systematic investment in a time like this should excite you, because now you're buying far more shares of whatever investments you're going into for at the same amount of investment. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that's going to pay off over the long haul. So I would say, yeah, this is a great opportunity to start, Jeff, with your heart. Does this reveal something about misplaced trust in my life? Mm. If I'm losing sleep over this, if I'm got the 24-hour news cycle on, what is that saying to me? And maybe I need to really look at that for a moment and realize that, you know, we've got to live within the eternal perspective. Now, that doesn't mean we withdraw from the world or neglect our financial responsibilities as stewards, but it's a shift in our thinking. We need to see the world differently. You remember the Apostle Paul reminded us, look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal in 2 Corinthians. So I think we've got to check our hearts first. And then second, I think there is a piece of this where we've got to look at our financial foundation. You know, do I have that emergency fund? If I'm in my working years, 3 to 6 months expenses. If I'm in retirement, 6 to 12 months. Do I have high interest credit card debt? I shouldn't. Let me get rid of that. Am mm-hmm. I living within my means? And then with your portfolio, am I properly diversified? And if so, I need to really stay in it for the long haul.
Mm, very good. I shared this scripture. I did a series on money, 3-week series, Rob. I finished it yesterday, and I talked about managing God's money. And I shared this verse, 1 Timothy 6:17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Riches are definitely uncertain, and yes. Money does talk. It says goodbye if you set your eyes on it. Let me ask you this question. This is a little bit an aside, but day trading was something that we heard a lot about a couple of decades ago, perhaps, or 10 years ago. We don't ever hear about that anymore. Are people still doing that?
Yeah, I mean, and so now it's cheaper than ever because you've got Robinhood and some of these, you know, very low cost providers that make it really simple to do. And I think one of the challenges is now, there's always kind of the hot trade. And right now it's in the crypto space, which is very erratic, highly volatile. I would call that the most speculative type of investing. But yeah, it absolutely still exists. It's easier than ever to do now. And the problem, Jeff, is that not only are people buying individual equities, but you've got these leveraged ETFs. And so, like, you can buy triple up or triple down through an option the market. And so it gooses the returns on the up or the downside, which basically uses leverage to, 3x your return in either direction. And so people use those to play the markets. That's gambling. It's not investing. I'd stay far from it, but it's absolutely still going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, so overall, from a financial standpoint, are you encouraged or discouraged by what Trump has been doing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think the extent to which there's not clarity about what his end game is it really about just bringing people to the table, these other nations, and really negotiating more of a level playing field that would lead to free trade? I think that's a good thing. I think the extent to which, we are going to keep these tariffs in place at a much higher level than everyone expected and just hope that we don't end up, into a global recession, I think is a little trickier. That is concerning to me. I think there was a lot of this needed to be done. It's the way in which he's going about it, which is kind of his style. It's a little jarring at times, to say the least. But at the end of the day, our economy, and we just saw evidence of this last week. I mean, we had a much better than expected jobs number. Our economy is a steam locomotive. It's going to take a lot to slow it down or derail it. And so I think we can get through this. And, I think, Lord willing, we need to pray for our president and the leaders that are around him to give him wisdom. And, I think, remember, it's only been just a few days. It feels like it's been months, a few days since he announced what he was going to do with these reciprocal tariffs. And so we'll see this play out in short order.
Well, it seems, Rob, to me, just on the on the surface of it, it's if you're charging me 10% and I charge you 10%, what are you mad about?
Yeah. I think that's right. I think the problem is that, that we were pricing in kind of a 10 to 12% tariff, and the formula they used caused these things to be much higher than the market was expecting. Now, they will claim that for good reason, and it was the Council of Economic Advisors. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the formula. It'll blow your mind. But they say there was a very good reason for it. Is that the art of the deal? Is that more accurate? Nobody knows. But at the end of the day, I think, we will get there. And hopefully what we're seeing even play out this morning with more people coming to the table with the news about Japan and Vietnam and others, this will lead to negotiation. We will level the playing field and we can move on.
Well, real quick, Rob, we just have about a minute. Give me your opinion of Elon Musk and the work of Doge.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I mean, I think what Elon talks about makes all the sense in the world. I mean, we absolutely were heading for a fiscal cliff. The principles we see in God's word around our role as stewards and managing God's money, once we understand God owns it all, the next big idea is to live within our means. And as a nation, we have not been doing that. And so we need to cut a spending. We need to get our fiscal house in order. And I love the work that Doge was doing to take us there.
Amen. Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you coming on, and always a pleasure.
Anytime, Jeff. God bless you, bud.
God bless you. Well, that was Rob West, and we were talking about the tariffs and what President Trump is doing. And hey, listen to the Word of God. Don't fix your mind on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Well, we are going to be in Share-a-thon Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then on Friday, Nathaniel Moran, who's a congressman here from the Texas area, will be with us. So go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Don't fear. Fix your eyes on Jesus, knowing that He has everything under control for the life of a believer. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.